want to focus on Cornerstone tonight. I don't want to talk too much about the way of the Spirit because things are happening there. I'm going to tell you very briefly some things. And I'm going to invite each of you, if you weren't there yesterday, to listen to a two-hour, one-minute MP3 explaining the new thing. And as a Cornerstone member, you're more than welcome to earwig on the Way of the Spirit talk yesterday morning that I gave to the wider team, because it explained some background and some context and then spoke about the new thing that's coming. Because we're so intertwined as a church with Way of the Spirit, it of course impacts us, and because a lot of people in the church are Way of the Spirit, you know, so there's an obvious almost we can't separate the two, but we need to in some ways, and I want us to understand, which is why I put your Cornerstone hat on tonight, that God is at work in the church and he's at work in the Way of the Spirit, and he's doing great things in each. And yes, we need to understand what he's doing in the other, as it were, but be able to recognize that he's working in Cornerstone at the same time, and they're going to impact each other, but it's going to, as it's for good in the Way of the Spirit all that's going on, so it will be for good in the church. He knew the end from the beginning, you know. He knows who we are. He knows what he's forming. I don't always know exactly what he's doing, but I can see the results of what he has been doing, and I can project ahead and see a little bit about what might come as a result of these things. And I don't want to talk too much about that tonight. But if you weren't there, or if you want to listen to it again, please get in touch with Mengi, who will send you the link to the MP3, where you can sit and listen to it on your headphones in the train or whatever, in the car, and hear what's going on. Because of course it has some impact on us as a church. Because of the way we've walked over these past years, we can carry on walking the way we've walked, regardless of what's happening with Way of the Spirit and FEH. Because of course, one of the things that looks as though it's going to happen is we will be moving out of FEH come September. But because we're a people, not a building, and because we're quite used to meeting anywhere, it doesn't really impact us that much. We'll have to find new places for outreaches and summer barbecues, but that's okay. We'll find somewhere. Or God will shift what we do or something. So we carry on regardless. Cornerstone carries on regardless. And God is going to keep growing us and changing us and strengthening us. And one of the things I think that will happen is we'll have a much clearer identity at the end of all this, at the end of this calendar year, because, for lots of reasons, but... those who were involved at FEH are going to sort of identify, perhaps in a more clear way, with the church, and they'll happen to be working in the Way of the Spirit, and the church will take on a new sort of identity, I suspect. We'll see what God does. So what you need to know is, we're moving out of FEH in September, as far as I know, unless God does something totally unexpected, but that's the way it's looking. That's the main news. The main news is God is doing such an amazing thing in Africa and beyond that the emphasis is shifting to global rather than FEH Norwich. I mean, that's the big thing that's happening. And that's the thing to concentrate on. The vision is expanding, and God is growing us and changing us and moving us to be looking way beyond the things we've been looking at. As a result of that, the focus for full-time training, bearing in mind the way the Spirit does other things apart from full-time training, but the emphasis for full-time training will shift from Norwich and FEH to Kampala, where we've got a wonderful building that's going to change into an even better building before long. And where we're applying to become an NGO and a non-governmental organisation. And we'll be working and carrying on that mission work there. thanks. Thank you, Maggie. Why didn't I think of that? So that's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know, and if you're a student returning today, then this may be news to you, and you have to hold your breath after this meeting until I'm able to meet with you the next few days to fill in the gap. So can you hold your breath for a few days? Good at holding your breath for a few days? Yeah, can you manage it? So take a big breath. The nature of what we're doing with the students and what we call college at the moment is going to shift. It's going to shift into something really good. And the current students are going to be the first beneficiaries, and we're going to put it out there, and we may get more people coming in to join us. But it's going to shift from a from a sitting down and receiving in lecture type mode to more of a discipleship training mode. And there's going to be an emphasis on going out, an emphasis on supporting each other in faith, and the intensity will slightly lessen, so there's going to be room to do a bit more and to think a bit more and to read the Bible a bit more. But there'll be an intensity in the going out and in the working together. They'll still be teaching, and we've got Benjamin coming from Nepal. It's going to arrive on the 12th. I'm guessing he's about that height. Okay, we'll see when he comes. I'm guessing he's there because his dad's about there. He'll be full of fire and he'll be full of life and he'll be coming expectant that God's going to put something in him. These are the spirit people from Nepal. Krishna was at Rafi and worked under John Mackay. So lots of new things happening. Students, don't worry about it. I'll explain it all to you and the implications and all that and how it affects you. But it's good. It's a good change. It's a good thing. And essentially, we're ending up with this, what I've always called a community of faith. Robert calls it a band of prophets. We could call it that. We're going to call the new thing the School of Applied Prophetic Faith. Gasp! Ooh! Ah! The School of Applied Prophetic. School because you're learning and being trained. Applied because it's practical. Prophetic because why the Spirit doesn't know what prophetic means in that context. We're prophetic people seeking to live the prophetic life, listening to God, hearing Him, building according to pattern, walking in faith and obedience. And what was it? School of faith. And faith because without faith it's impossible to please God. Who wants to please God? Then you may as well learn about faith because you're not going to please Him in any other way. And everything, just say everything, that's not of faith is sin. So ditch it. So these guys on this new DTS almost, this school, are going to have a fantastic time. And we're going to be sending locally, nationally, and globally from this group of people. And lots of people, ultimately, we're all in this community of faith. Some will be closer, some will join this group of people and still be working. Peter's going to move back into FVH, and he's going to be going out working, but he's going to be part of this team of people who are working together, encouraging each other in faith, and being sent out. Carol's going to be in working with him in outreach, and no doubt rubbing shoulders with him and getting involved in it, and other people are going to be involved too. And in one sense, we're all part of that, because once FVH has gone, that's what we'll all be part of. We'll morph from a college at the moment through this sort of period of training into a group where all those who are left come October, November, we will all be the band of prophets. We'll be Cornerstone Church, we'll be a band of prophets, we'll be pouring our lives into the Word of the Spirit, many of us in many ways, and we'll be being sent all over the world, and we'll be this community of faith. So that's briefly the plan. As I see it, I don't think I need to tell you any more today, except we are having a month in January where we're seeking God and putting everything else aside to seek God. Therefore, if you haven't caught up with this yet, at FVH we are seeking God between 8 and 10 every weekday, a.m., and every evening. Unless we've got the part-time school, which we have this week, or the module, which we have in 2 weeks. So it'll shift when those two things happen. Otherwise, we're meeting God 8 to 10 and every evening. And we're seeking God. We're not sort of have God putting on programs and things. We're seeking God. And because we're a people who seek God. And that's what He commands us to do. That's what He calls us to do. And so we're seeking God, expecting Him to meet with us. As we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us because He promises to. He has done already. And we're going to be changed. And He's going to show us what changes He wants to make in us. Because, of course, one of the catalysts for this, and only one of them, but one of the catalysts is that we're short of money. And when you need money, boy, that doesn't often make you listen to God, And so and He said, seek me. So that's what we're doing. We're walking in faith and obedience. We're not focusing on the money. He'll provide money one way or another. By the way, the Nepalese guy needs £5,000 to cover his costs of being here. So I just mention that for anyone who's got ears to hear. But also be putting that out around the country for people to contribute towards him being here. Because we take these people on, we don't say charge them to come. But of course it costs us money. And this is partly why we haven't got any money, because we keep giving free places to people. And that's right and proper, because we've always had that heart. And we know that if we walk in faith, God will provide. And so anyway, we don't need to go into that, because that's all by the Spirit. But the church is going to find its... Just keep going, step by step, in the direction it's going, and it'll gather the fallout from all that's happening else. You know, we'll just keep going and see what God's going to do with us as a body of people, as a community of faith. So I think that's all I need to say today. And then all I wanted to share a few verses, then we're going to worship God and take break bread, and that'll be it for tonight. But I think, Peter, you shared this verse the other morning, Isaiah 46. And going to verse 3, you had... These are Bel and Nebo stooping down. You had God stooping down to save us. This is perhaps somewhere close to it. Anyway, verse 3, listen to me, listen. And the first word, listen, just struck me as I was looking at this this afternoon and this evening. Listen to me. Do you know how often God says, listen to me, throughout Scripture? Do you know how often? I don't know either. But it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. I reckon it's more than do not fear. He's saying, listen to me. Give ear to me. Listen to what I'm saying. This is what the word of the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Come on, listen to me, you guys. He's saying it throughout the whole Bible, from start to finish. Listen to me. And here he says, listen. And we've got to be a people who listen. And sometimes we can be so full of activity, all of us can, trying to live out this life of faith, that we stop listening. And to listen to someone, you've got to pay attention to them. If I asked you who are the good listeners in the room, you'd be able to point out two or three people and say they're good listeners. I'm not going to ask you to do that, but you could. You would. I know I'm able to listen, but I also know I'm very able not to listen sometimes and just go steaming in. But if I choose to listen, I can listen, because I've been trained to listen. But it doesn't mean I do it naturally, or it's my natural instinct to listen. Some of you are good listeners. Some of you are fair listeners. Some of you, quite frankly, are very poor listeners. And maybe we need to do another class on listening. But to listen to someone, you need to pay attention to them. You make a decision to pay attention to what they're saying. And you don't just sort of get a sense of what they're saying, but you listen to what they're saying, and you watch their body language, and you watch what's happening in them, and you pick up a sense of where they're coming from and what it is that they're saying, and you pay attention to which words they repeat, and what they're saying in terms of what they've said to you before. And you give them your full attention. To listen to somebody properly, you have to give them their full attention. Do you know that thing, you know, after church, after a meeting, you know, I'm talking to Robert, and then Peter walks behind Robert, you know, and I'm sort of listening to what Robert's saying to me, but Pete goes, I go, oh, hi, Pete, you know, and you go, is he really listening? Is he really is he the slightest bit interested in what I'm saying to him? Oh, hi, Pete, how you doing? You know, we've all been there. You know, you want to talk to that person, but this person has got you engaged, you know, and do you really want to be listening to this person who's telling you the same thing for six times, you know? Because you really want to speak to that person, because you want to tell them something before they go. And we've all done that, and after meeting ITIS, we all go into that. But, of course, that's not proper listening. It's understandable, and it's a thing we all do from time to time, but it's not proper listening. To properly listen to someone, you have to give them your full attention, 100%. Husbands, your wives want you to listen to them. I promise you. They want you to listen to them. Moving on. How well do we listen to God? How often do we give him our full attention? Okay, God, you know, in your quiet time, how much time is spent you talking to God, and how much do you listen to him? How often do you read the word attentively, really saying, okay, God, speak, what is it you want to say to me? And stay quiet in your spirit, in here. Stay quiet and open to really hear what God's got to say. Well, of course, he's good at getting our attention. And sometimes he gets a bit fed up, so he dries up the money for a bit. And that gets our attention. Okay, God, I'm listening now. What is he going to say? It's a very good way to... Of course, the money thing, never ever ask God for money to do something that he's called you to do. Never ever do that. He promises to do it. Either you're doing the wrong thing. You know, you've gone off on a thing. Or he wants to get your attention. And either way, the secret is listen. Stop what you're doing and listen. And in a sense, that's what we're doing this January. In January, no life groups except Wednesday afternoons. No Monday or Friday life groups. Mentioned that, sorry. So we're listening. And we're listening to the Holy Spirit session by session and going with him and being led by him. And of course, we always do that to a degree, but there are some times when he sort of pulls us up and gets us back to basics. So listen to me, O house of Jacob. Israel, the ones I've called, God's people, listen to me. All of you who remain of the house of Israel. As I was reading this, it felt a bit like we're a remnant again. You know, I've had this a few times over here, where we end up being a remnant. Well, there's nothing biblically wrong with that. It happens over and over again. Israel are a remnant over and over again. Gideon's army was a remnant when once they decided who couldn't be in it because they drank the river in the wrong way. You know, all of you who remain in the house of Israel. So that's us. As I was taking this prophetically, I sense God was speaking to us. You whom I have upheld since you were conceived. Now, I'm taking it as a sort of cornerstone thing. Since we were conceived, he's upheld us. He has. There have been times when I've been convinced that it's about to collapse, and there have been times when I've wanted it to. Not recently, but there have been times when I've wanted Cornerstone just to dry up and, Lord, have it back. Take it away. Don't want any more to do with it. And it's looked for all the world as though it's going to end, and yet it didn't. Each time we reach that point, suddenly a whole lot of money comes in, or suddenly a whole lot of people join, or somehow there's a move of the Spirit, and God encourages us, and we fan into flame again. Oh, Lord, it's still going. All right. So back on track. All you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I've upheld since you were conceived. The thing about going through these times, whether it's our personal time or whether it's a ministry time, and in where the Spirit we've had similar times, the thing about it is, once you've been through that a couple of times, you know for sure, as the one who's led people through it, you know for sure, and probably everyone else does too, that what you end up with after these events is of God. Because you know for sure it would have died. Had it been up to you, had things gone follow their natural course. Yeah. But then you see that the thing of God come, and the thing of the Spirit come and move, and you see that he works in the remnants, and that's, you know, I'm not lecturing you tonight about remnant, but you get the idea. All you who remain household, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived. The key is always, we check it out, did you start this, God, and have we done it your way? Have we followed what you said? Are we listening to your word? Are we living this by obedience and faith, not our own good ideas? And that's what it brings, that's the pruning it brings you back to every time. Whatever area of your life is being tested, that's what is it? And then you repent of the things he shows you, where it's been your self-effort, or you're this, or that, or the other. And he gets you back into faith and obedience. In our individual lives, we can suddenly find ourselves growing and prospering in a certain way, and we think, oh, that must be God because he's good, you know, and then suddenly we find it cut back, and God says, no, I didn't want you to go that way at all. You get a pruning. God does prune, because my father is the gardener. God prunes his garden. And we're told, if you're bearing fruit, he'll cut you back so you can bear more fruit. He will. It always seems unfair to me. It tells you in John, you know, if you're not bearing fruit, he'll cut you off, and if you are bearing fruit, he'll prune you. Great, thanks God. Whichever way we go, I'm going to get pruned. But that's how it is.
That's right.
That's the seasons of God. In a work, in a life, in a ministry, in a church. The seasons of God, and of course we know well that the key is not numbers of people. The key is the fruit that's born as a result of anybody walking together in unity, according to what God has said. And the wonderful thing is, I look around and see great fruit in all sorts of ways, in our lives, in who we've become, in the unity he's worked in our hearts and lives, in the stature of you guys, because quite honestly, you were not this when you came. And ultimately, we send people out all around the world and see wonderful fruit. I mean, praise God. we could plan a mega church and still not end up getting that. You could organize a church and get a big building and raise some money and build a thing and get people to come because it looks good, and you could fill it up with zero fruit. We got a small group of people and we're seeing great fruit. When everyone says grapefruit, I always think of grapefruit. So I've got to stop saying grapefruit. Grapefruit with a half a cherry in, you know. We see grapefruits. Grapefruit. I have upheld you, Cornerstone, since you were conceived, and have carried you since your birth. That's true of you as an individual, it's true of Cornerstone. He's carried you, and thank God he has carried you, because I cannot possibly try and carry all of you. Anyone in pastoral ministry or disciple ministry amongst you lot, you know, if you're leading something, you can't carry people. You can't afford to carry everyone in your own heart. You haven't got the ability to do it. Jesus carries them. Jesus carries every one of us. And as you care for people and disciple people, you give them to the Lord. Continually give them back to the Lord. Lord, I can't carry this. Give them back to you. Give them to you. Thank you, Lord. You have conceived them. You've upheld them throughout. And you are carrying them.
Yes,
and you agree in faith with the Word of God and work in cooperation with God. I've carried you since your birth, even to your old age and grey hairs. Well, there's not much of that around, thankfully. Moving on. I am he who will sustain you. He conceived us, he's carried us, and he will sustain us. Right? Let me tell you, this beginning of the year, whatever comes this year, whatever challenges come, whatever changes and shifts come as a result of what's going on at FEH or where the Spirit, whatever else comes, whoever goes, he will sustain us. And that's where my faith is. And I would invite you to join me in that, that we walk together knowing that he will sustain us. Amen. As we walk through this year. I will sustain and I will rescue you. Listen, you cannot do kingdom work without sometimes getting into a pickle. You cannot move forwards in God without feeling sometimes as though you're hurtling down a great big crater or on the edge of a cliff or somehow got some big danger in front of you. That's the life to which we're called. I mean, you can try and live a self-protective life and make sure everything's comfortable, but you're not going to bear any fruit. You're not going to move forwards. Yeah, you follow Jesus and allow him to bring you through whatever. And that's the life we're called to. That was Jesus' life, that was disciples, and that's the Christian life. Read John Bevere, please. Those of you who haven't mentioned, several of us have been reading John Bevere's Killing Kryptonite. very apt book, written in a way with a different sort of perspective or different nuance than we perhaps have, but the same thing that God's been saying for years to us, and we've been out working. But read it. It will help. It will affirm. It will affirm to you that what God's teaching through one of the key teachers in globally, at least in the Western world, he's been doing in our hearts and lives for a long time. It will encourage you that. It'll also help you to reiterate what he's been telling us and to get hold of it, if necessary, in a different way, and allow yourself to be changed by it, transformed by it, because that's the name of the game, isn't it? To allow God to keep transforming you. The moment we don't want to be changed, that's when we start getting stuck. Because you have to come. You have to. If you move from moving forward in the kingdom, you have to move into something. The option is to move into religion. Move into something that's static and comfortable. He doesn't call us to be static and comfortable. He calls us to keep moving out. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep going. Keep following me. Keep believing. So remain in me, I'll remain in you, and you will bear fruit. Fruit that will last. That's his promise. And then he talks about 5 minutes or so. Then he talks about these idols, you know, whom will you compare me to? And then he's, you know, some pour out gold from their bags, weigh out silver. they bow down and worship it, you know. They carry it on their shoulders. They put it on their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. And from that spot, they cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it doesn't answer. It cannot save him from his troubles. I love Isaiah's parody on the idols. You know, the craftsman carves out the lump of wood, puts it there, and then has to carry it, you know, to move it, you know. And they cry out to this thing, pretend it's a god. Listen, nothing except for God can rescue you from your troubles. Nothing except for God can answer ultimately any challenge or any question that you have in your life. Can get you out of trouble, anything more than temporarily. Nothing can save us apart from Jesus Christ. And everything we turn to in our hearts as idolatry that we put in place of God, everything that we turn to because we think that will give us some temporary relief, whether it's a bottle of wine, whether it's some spending some money, whether it's idolizing a person, whether it's a desire for this, that, or the other in our life, if we allow our hearts to move in that direction, we are moving away from Christ, and Christ is the only answer. Those things will only ever lead ultimately to death. And Bevere talks about idolatry in a slightly different way and as well. And it's a sort of theme of the moment, and we've often spoken about it. How Jesus' name is above every name. And our job is to ensure that Jesus' name is above every name in our life and to maintain it above every name in our life. That we're not permitting anything else to come in. Because things will try. Things will try. In all our lives, things will try to work their way in and put themselves in a place where you're looking at it above the name of Jesus. You think somehow that Jesus' name is not higher than that name. So somehow you're going to look to this thing rather than Jesus to be your solution. And it's idolatry. Because you're putting something in the place of Jesus. It's idolatry. And in Romans 8, finish with this. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what that nature desires. So anything that's not Jesus, if we're looking to it to be our salvation or our redemption, you know, the thing that will save us in this way or another way, that's the flesh. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. That's where all the stuff leads to, if we look at anything except Christ. It leads to death. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life. And it's as stark as that. And that's the challenge before us at the start of this new year, to be those men and women who constantly wrestle to make sure that God's name is above every name. Because I'm not talking about the theory. I'm not talking about if you wrote an essay, would you agree that Jesus is the highest name? I'm talking about in your day-to-day existence, are you putting Jesus' name above every other name? And are you reaching out to him rather than anything else that gives you solace? There's a sticking plaster over your heart for another 2 weeks. And our challenge as the people who God's called us to be is to continue that wrestling day in, day out, because it takes wrestling. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling, Paul says. And in the West, we tend to relegate this sort of thing to an intellectual thing. Do we intellectually agree that Jesus' name is high? Well, of course we do. We'd all say that. But are we putting Jesus' name? Are we living it out day by day as we come against health challenges, finance challenges, relationship challenges, faith challenges? Financial challenges. Don't forget you're called to overcome. You're not called to live with a sin. Stay with it. You're not called to live with a deficiency in your life. You're not called to live in a relationship that's less than what God has called it to be. You're not called to live in it. You're called to overcome it. Doesn't mean we do it all the time, but that's what you're called to do. And that's why he wants us to be the people who wrestle to overcome the fear, overcome the pride, overcome the greed, the idolatry thoughts and lurching desires of our hearts. overcome it and live the life, which won't look pretty, but live the life where we are seeking to live in as Jesus, as Lord of our lives, in every practical way that that means, and make it a reality in our hearts and our minds and our actions and our words. Reminding people, it's probably one thing Bevere says is just these little snatch phrases, but to worship God is to obey Him. You know. We can't say, well, we worship God, we come for an hour and a half and we sung songs. To worship God is to obey God. It's to obey the leading of His Spirit. It's to agree, it's to line up our thinking with the Scripture, with the Word of God, and to live our life out working it in faith. In faith. In faith. And if we allow ourselves to be easily overcome and let that continue, then we're simply living in unbelief and failure. Well, Jesus says, be an overcomer. It's the overcomer I'm going to give there. So, and so that's our challenge. And we've heard this sermon many times one way or another, because I'm preaching it all my life one way or another, and seeking to live it all my life, and getting up and dusting myself down when I've failed to live it. And there's a challenge. When you fail, do you get back up? Or do you stay down? You get stared out and say, well, it was impossible. It was unrealistic to expect me to do that. I'll live at this level now. No, we're called to go back up to that level. Back onto the chair. Yeah. No matter what, back onto the chair. Not one of us has any excuse to live our life anywhere but on the chair. And if you've been off the chair, I don't care. We've been off 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, 50 years. Get back on the chair tonight. So I'm going to be that overcomer you called me to be. Amen. I declare, Jesus, your name is above every name in my life, and Holy Spirit, come and teach me what that means in my relationships, in my finance, in my thinking, in my thought life, in my heart attitudes, in my life in the church, the work you give me to do, whether it's in the world or in the church, day by day. Teach me, Lord, what it means that your name is higher than every name, because I want you to really be my Lord. Every compartment of my heart and every aspect of my life. Now, it may not be that any one of us achieves that perfectly in our lives, but we're to spend our life seeking that, choosing that, walking the walk and resting the resting matches we need to in order to live that. Because God is no respecter of persons, and he gives everybody everything we need to do that.
Yes.
And he doesn't say, well, Dennis, I'll give you a bigger dollop. Boom. Richard, I'll give you a bigger dollar. Boom. No. He gives everybody a measure of faith, and then it's what we do with the faith that decides whether that faith grows and whether it prospers and whether it bears fruit, eternal fruit. Every one of us is called to live on the chair. Every one of us is called to live with Jesus as Lord. So we know much of Christendom is glad to call Jesus Saviour, but when we look at their lives, would it really be true to say he's their Lord? And that is the biggest problem in the church in the West. Do we allow Jesus to be our Lord? Is he really in the driving seat of our life? Well, you know, Cornerstone's going in one direction, and that's whichever direction Jesus is leading us. And that's what he spoke to us. He will sustain us, he will keep us, he will protect us. He'll watch over us and he'll walk with us. Because we're his. He conceived us and he's watched over us so far, and he's going to continue watching over us. Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow your heads a moment. And simply, I mean, you know, we're all in tune with the Holy Spirit. We've been meeting God this week, and you know exactly what he's saying to you, if he's saying anything. And all you've got to do is say yes to him now. I can't do that for you. You have to do that yourself. You have to say, yes, God, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to move towards in my life.